Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Saxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, this 15 minutes of empowerment where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, the call, the purpose that God has ordained us for before the foundations of the earth. And we, through obedience and through our faith, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, become more and more like Him, displaying the light and the light of who He is, showing and teaching others about God's love, God's grace, God's salvation, and encouraging them along the way. And God gets glory out of us. The Lord always chooses unlikely people for His purpose and His destiny. He calls them and He anoints them and He fills them with His power and His strength. And as we live every day in obedience to His will and His word, He is the one who's magnified through us, and people's lives are changed, generations are changed, races and creeds are changed for the better because of what we display, because of what we give, which is the hope and the life of Jesus Christ. We've been looking at people in the Bible, not seeing them as superhuman Christians, but seeing them as everyday individuals that God has chosen and that God is using. And that we, as we study their life, as we study their ups and downs, as we study how they obeyed God and how they possessed the promise of what God says, we learn more and more about how to believe, how to follow, how to trust God, how to rely on Him and know that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that He'll do the same thing for us. We also see their mistakes or see their shortcomings, but it does not refute the Word of God, which encourages us and lets us know that no matter what mistakes we made, as long as we stay in the will of God, running back to Him, repenting before Him, we're going to always walk in the destiny that God has before us. So it's amazing. We started this little mini-series earlier this week talking about trust, and we're going to talk about trust again today. And today we're going to talk about trust in ministry, or trust dealing with something that God's called you to that you don't want to. Looking at the book of Jonah, when we look at this book, we're going to see several things, and we're going to see how even in Jonah's disobedience and not trust of God, that God was still faithful. And he was not at the place where he should be. His disobedience was led by his fleshly desire or his fleshly will or his fleshly way. And so it was not a place of trust, because trusting God, even when you know what God is going to do, when you know that He's merciful and you know that He's gracious, you still cannot not trust Him. You still have to allow Him to be God, even in the places where you know that God is going to change His mind concerning certain situations, that if people call on Him, people cry out to Him, He will be merciful if He knows that they're going to change. He's that kind of God. So when we look at this, we see that Jonah was God's man. He was in Nineveh. God wanted him. The smell of Nineveh was so great. The smell of their sin, the smell of their wickedness was so great that it basically went to the highest heaven. And God said, I'm going to destroy them, but go down there and preach the gospel to them. Go and tell them what I'm going to do. But instead of doing this, Jonah buys a ticket. He buys a ticket for rebellion. He buys a ticket where he's not trusting God. He buys a ticket on a boat to go and do what he wants to do instead of trusting God. And that is so pivotal for us, because we've got to make sure that we do not, in our own way, in our own mind, say that we're not going to do the will of God because it's not the best thing for us. And we begin to go and buy tickets to rebellion. You don't want to buy a ticket to rebellion. You don't want to buy a ticket to enjoy rebellion or to sin against God. You want to always make sure that you're walking in His will and that you're walking in what He's told you, even if it means that you sometimes have to run back and say, Lord, show me again, teach me again, instruct me again so that I don't miss what you're saying to me. He gets on the boat, he climbs in there, and the thing that he does is when he gets on the boat and he climbs on the boat, he goes to the dark hole of the ship. He goes to the darkest part of the ship trying to run away from God. He goes to the darkest place of the ship trying to hide. Where can you go and hide from God? You cannot. He's everywhere and He sees everything. Now, if He sees everything and He knows where you are, and He already knew what you were going to do,
you already need to just go ahead and submit and say, God, I'm going to trust you that even though I don't feel a certain way or I know what you're going to do, I trust that you know what you're doing. And so I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with what you've called me to do. Jonah was given an assignment. Many of us have been given an assignment by God, whether it's in your house, your marriage, on that job, in that ministry, in that community, with your children, whatever it is, you've been given an assignment, and you cannot do what you want to because you think that God is not doing what you think he should. Whenever we don't trust God and we don't walk in obedience to God and his word and his will, we're basically saying God's way is not right, his way is not fair, his way is not true, and because of that, we're saying basically God is a liar. So every day that we live in rebellion or walking in and not trusting God, believing God, we're basically saying, God, you're a liar at morning, you're a liar at noonday, you're a liar at midnight, throughout every second of the day, you are a liar because your way is not good, it's not perfect, it's not the way for me, and I don't have to follow that and I don't have to trust that because it's not good. And when you're doing that, God himself is offended against that. We, in our own natural mind, hate for someone to call us a liar. Even if we know we are lying, we don't want someone to call us a liar or even put us in that category of being linked with being dishonest. Well, when we don't believe God and trust God, that's what we're basically saying. His way is not good, and we're going to do our own way, and that's not good. We need to always trust and depend on God, have faith in him. So Jonah crawls in a dark place, and when you walk against the will of God, it will lead you to a dark place. It will lead you to a dark place. With him, it was this ship, this hole. Well, it can take you to a dark place of depression, where you were sad or just oppressed or heavy or lonely. But it's going to lead you to a place that you don't want to be because you're not in the place of perfect, which is the perfect will of God, doing what he's told you to do. Even if you're stumbling doing it, you're still walking in what he's told you to do. And so we see that he goes there, and as he goes to this place, the word of God says that God prepared some things. He prepared a storm, and he prepared a fish. And I don't want God to have to prepare a storm for me to submit to his will. I don't want him to prepare a fish for me to submit to his will. That means he can put you in a situation where it feels just like you're in a fish's belly. You're in a dark place. That you, it feels like utterly what is around you, what's happening to you, is death itself. I don't want to have to be in that situation to get in line with what God is telling me, and you shouldn't want to either. You should do what he's told you to do. Jonah's disobedience causes a great loss because it does not just affect him. It affects the men that's on the ship. These men are transporting goods. They're transporting a cargo. And they're throwing their cargo overboard when this storm arises. Even though they're trying to outrow the storm and get out of the storm, they could not get out of the storm because when God has sent something to get your attention, it doesn't matter how hard you row or what you do, you're not going to get out of it until you submit to his will. You're not going to get out of it until what he says is done. So they were trying and attempting to save their lives, but they couldn't even do that because God sent a storm that they could not get out of. So in the moment that they started throwing things overboard, they were losing money. That was money for their family, money for their business. Those things were at a loss, all because of Jonah. There are times that your rebellion costs others. Other people pay the penalty or the price for your rebellion because you're not doing what God says, because you're not trusting God and walking obediently by faith in what he's saying. Other people are affected by it. Other people might miss an opportunity to hear about Jesus or hear about his saving power or be encouraged. Other people might miss the opportunity to see God in your life being effective. They might, you're costing someone else an opportunity to see Jesus or to hear an overcoming testimony or hear the prayer that availeth much from a righteous person. No matter what it is, it's a loss for people who are waiting on you or people that are connected to you or people that are in the same boat as Jonah was. They were there going to another place, but they were affected by Jonah's decision to go and hide himself in the bottom of the boat against the will of God because he bought a ticket to rebellion. So we don't want that. And so even in Jonah's rebellion, he's still not willing to do what he needs to do because he tells the men, throw me overboard. If you throw me overboard, everything's going to be okay. Well, why didn't he just go and throw himself overboard? Because he still was in a place where maybe God will change his mind. Maybe this will work out. Maybe they're going to struggle even harder to try to get to the other side. And he said, if you throw me overboard. Now, he wasn't willing to just jump overboard. He had to be thrown overboard. He had to be thrown into the place where he was submitting to God's will. He had to be thrown into the place where he was submitting to God's plan and God's purpose. And that's not what we want. We don't ever want to be thrown into something. We want to submit wholeheartedly to the perfect will of God, knowing that God's way is perfect. Ultimately, what ends up happening is we see that Jonah does do what God says. But he goes through this process of being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and understand what it is to be utterly miserable. And we understand that Jesus talks about being in the belly of Jonah, the fish, in the New Testament. He talks about this, but he was talking about in the place of going into hell to save us, to redeem us. But it's a place of agony. It's a place where there is no relief. It's a place where it feels like death itself is coming to take over. And we don't want to be in that place when it comes to our walk and our pursuit of God. We want to be in a place where our trust is always obediently saying, God, even though I don't understand your way, even though I don't understand what you're doing completely, even though I don't understand this place that you have me in or what you're requiring of me, I'm willing to trust you and trust that you know how you're leading me and what you're going to get the fruit of out of this. I trust that. So because you haven't failed me and because you have not allowed me to go into places where you have not been there and haven't delivered me and haven't given a victory, overcoming testimony, I trust even in this place where I don't understand that I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to see your hand. I'm going to see your grace. I'm going to see your mercy. And that's the place where we have to confidently remain and stay. We cannot allow our flesh, we cannot allow our own mind and our own will to dictate to us. We've got to be confidently led by the Spirit of God and trust what he's doing. And this trust is what is going to build our faith muscles. It's going to build us in God. It's going to cause us to increase. It's going to cause a greater praise in us that we understand the ways of God, the mind of God even more. And that is where we want to get, that we're no longer wrestling against God's will, but we're submissive to his will and his plan. He doesn't tell us and show us everything, but he shows us and gives us enough. And that he gives us is enough for us to trust. His track record with us has always been confident, a confident track record. He's never broken anything. He's never done anything that was dishonorable. His character and everything about him says that he's trustworthy. So why would you trust him in something that seemed hard or not fair to you? Because sometimes we want God to punish people or get people back, and God says, no, I'm going to give them grace and I'm going to give them mercy. I want you to be the light and do what I tell you to do and show them who I am and love them in spite of themselves and watch me be God. And that sometimes for us is very hard because we don't want certain people to receive grace and mercy. But like I say all the time, it's not your grace and it's not your mercy. You cannot determine who's worthy to receive it, because if that was the case, everybody would not receive it. But that whosoever will, they can come and get this grace and this mercy, and they can repent at the last moment, the last second, and they will receive what they need from the Lord. So we cannot determine who's qualified for it and how long we're going to keep it from them and when we're going to give it to them. We have to give it to them because it's been given to us, because our sins have been forgiven, because God paid the price for us, because he's given us what we could not get for ourselves. We now forgive those, let those go, release those who would hurt us, and that hurt could be to the utter bone of our every nerve of our body. But because of what God has done for us, because of what he's given us, we now forgive them, and we trust God to be the God who either is going to save them, deliver them, set them free, or even bring vengeance. But whatever the case is, we're going to trust God and believe that as we trust him, he's going to work everything out for our good. I'm Pastor Cheryl Saxon. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Live today. And I pray that these 3 days of empowerment talking about trust and dealing with trust that we receive that life and we receive that word and that it's going deep into us. Have a wonderful worship experience, and we'll see you next week. God bless.